Father's Day is always one of the hardest days for me to preach on because I just never know what to talk about. And so I'm really not talking about fathers today, but I am dedicating this to fathers. And perhaps because I see the need for this in our fathers. If you just hang on here a minute, I think I've got to connect this way. This will make a difference. Oh, there it comes. Anyway, we're in a series called Engage, and this series is about how we can engage with the Holy Spirit to be closer followers with God. And when I first started this thing, I brought up this little mixer, you know, it had a gear on it and had. And I just want to, I want to relate this to the cars this morning because I want to relate it to the guys, okay? So the idea of engaging with God has to do with, you know, when you think about a car, the car's got an engine up front, and then it has a clutch, and then it has a transmission, and then it has a drive shaft. At least this is the old style ones anyway, not the front wheel drive ones. But and it goes back to differential now. Even the front wheel drive ones have all that stuff, but it's just packed into this little bitty space, okay? But when you think about this, now I have to go clear back to where I was first driving, and I was not driving a car. I was driving something my father had made, which is called the Putzi Tractor. Now, the Putzi Tractor had an engine, it had a clutch, it had a transmission, it had a drive shaft, and it had a differential. It had everything that a car has, and we were taught to drive on this thing. And so I learned what it meant to engage. If you leave the transmission in neutral, you're going nowhere. Right? The same thing occurs on your cars. You don't happen to notice that there's a bunch of gears inside this thing. When you pull it into drive, you just engaged a whole bunch of gears to make this thing go down the road. If you push it into neutral, as you know, what it'll do? It'll just coast to a stop. If you blow out your transmission, it's not going anywhere either. The same thing with the differential. Differential just takes the power from the front and turns it sideways. That's all it does. But it has a set of gears in there that are engaged. If any one of those gears goes bad, you're going to lose it. And so we're talking about engaging with God. Gears, hooking up together with God. And we have been looking at these things that are up there. The first one we saw was we are to return to our first love. Jesus is talking to us and he's saying, I want you to return to what you were like when you first trusted Christ as your Savior. And then he came and he talked to another church and he said, I want you to remain faithful to me even though persecution is going to come. You're going to have pain, you're going to have persecution, but in that, I want you to remain faithful to me. And then last week we saw about we need to remove sin from our lives. And I found out later that the illustration I used at the very end of the service about snakes hit a bunch of you. Because it was kind of like, wow, that was a talk after the service. Actually, throughout the week, I had several people coming up to me. And I want to remind you what it was all about. It was not about the snakes. It was about the passion of the snake killer. Okay? It's about having the passion of hatred of snakes towards sin. In fact, worse. We ought to hate sin and remove it from our lives. And today, we're going to talk about waking up. He's going to talk to us about waking up. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time waking up. Somebody has said, you know, don't talk to me until I've had my at least one cup of coffee. It just takes a while for me to get going in the morning. It just does. And I remember my mom always coming up to the bedrooms, and she'd first of all come up and says, time to get up, get ready for the bus, the school's coming. And, you know, we'd lay there, and then she would come to the bottom of the stairs, and she'd yell up the stairs. She said, you guys need to get up. And then she'd come to the top of the stairs, and she said, I've got a cup of water. I'm coming your direction. Never had the water thrown on me, because I was up by that point. The idea is sometimes we fall asleep. Sometimes we don't always connect and we're kind of indifferent and apathetic toward things. And so today we're going to be talking about a church by the name of Sardis. And just to help you understand a little bit about where this is at, and I hope you can see this up there, but in the green circle up there are some cities that are listed. There's Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum. And those are the cities that we've already talked about. You can see they're all kind of grouped in an area. The city we're going to talk about today is Sardis. right close to the area. These are all in a very small area of what was called Asia Minor at that time. At this time, it could have been called Lydia, and it's also called Phrygia. So just so you know where it's at, but I want to talk with you before we read this letter about this city. It's got a very interesting history. So the city is on a major trade route between Pergama and then on into what we would call Galatia and those areas. And so it's on a major trade route. It is an economic city. It's all about the economics. And it had, what we understand, it had a city that was on the plain, down on the road. And then it had a city that was up on a hill, okay? So the economic commerce took place on the plain, and up on the hill was called the Hold. This was the place where the king lived. And this was a place where there was enough space for the entire population of the city down below to come up here. If an enemy attacked, they were up on this mountaintop, okay? And in front of this city was kind of like a sheer cliff, kind of like nobody could get up that cliff, they thought. It was no way. And so they guarded the rear of the city, but they'd never guarded the sheer cliff because they said, nobody can ever get up here. And so they would go to sleep every night, only guarding one side of the city, just the front gates. That's it. They didn't worry about the rear gates because who could ever climb that wall? Well, they found out that an army did come, and they sent an army up that sheer cliff, and they conquered Sardis, which was an unconquerable city. They were indifferent to what was coming or what could happen to their city. They were indifferent. They're apathetic. They really didn't care because it didn't really make any difference, right? And yet, we might say that it did. And so, as we go through this Engage series, this one today called Wake Up, let's read Revelation 3, and I don't have this on the screen, so if you've got an electronic device or a Bible, turn there to Revelation, the third chapter, the first through six verses. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things that you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you have heard and believed at first and hold firmly to it. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpectedly as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce them before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Father, we just ask that you would use your word this morning to teach us, to awaken us, to help us to return, to help us to remain, to help us, Father, to remove. Lord Jesus, you're coming back soon. I firmly believe that, Father. I just pray that we'll be ready for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing that this particular passage says is that Jesus knows everything I do. This message is from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God. So this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The seven is kind of the number of heaven, the number of God. It's the sevenfold Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit whose presence is everywhere and whose power is immeasurable. He is God in spirit. And then it says, and from the seven stars. And this actually is a reference back to the first chapter of Revelation, where it talks about the seven stars being the seven messengers that are come to these churches. And most commentaries, I shouldn't say most, many commentaries, many scholars believe that these stars are actually the pastors of these churches. So you have to think about this a minute, that somebody had to deliver this message, okay? It came by book, but many of the people couldn't read. They were illiterate. And so as they brought this message, it was come through a human instrument, through a pastor. And so he says, I have the Spirit of God who knows everything and is in your presence, and I also have the pastor who's delivering this message to you. I believe in all my heart that God is at work in our world right now. He is preparing us for his coming. I have listened to several pastors, and there are pastors all over this world who are starting to talk about the coming of the Lord, that he's coming soon, that things are happening that we've never seen in our lifetime, and that we need to get ready as a church. I don't think it's any question that there was a reason that God put this passage, this message series together at this time for us, okay? He's giving it to us, and he says to us, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars, and he says, I know, Jesus says, I know all the things that you do. We have seen this in every letter. I know the things that you do. I know the good things that you do, and I know the bad things that you do. There is nothing that can hide what you do from me. I know what's going on in your lives. I know what's going on in your homes. I know what's going on in your minds. I know what you do. And then he says that you have a reputation for being alive. It's interesting that he uses this term reputation, because reputation is all about history, isn't it? Okay? It's what you have done in the past that he is bringing up. He says, I know you have a reputation for being alive. You were a church, he says, that has done many great things. You have accomplished many things in your life, but you have been living on the laurels of your past, not on the present, because he says, but you are not alive, you are dead. Now, this has to be a hyperbole where he's trying to say, he's making an emphasis here. You think you're alive, but you are dead. And then he goes on, he says, but there's still something there. So strengthen what remains. So he's not totally dead. They're not totally dead, but they are asleep. They are like the city of Sardis, who's not protecting a wall because they don't think they have to. It's no big deal. You know what? What we've done in the past, maybe that's good enough. You see, they have a reputation. And he goes on and he says, I want you to wake up. Strengthen what remains. For even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Wow. What you have done is good. What you need to do would be better, but you're not even accomplishing that. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. And if you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpectedly as a thief. Where have you heard that before? Jesus himself said that. He says, I will come as a thief in the night. If you knew the thief was coming to your house right now, you wouldn't be sitting here. If you knew the thief was coming to your house in the night, okay, you would have locked the doors and shut the windows and you would have protected yourself. You would have prepared. But he says, if you don't do anything, I'm going to come as a thief, like you're not expecting me. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He says, I want you to wake up. I want you to strengthen what remains. Go back to what you've done. And I think about our church here, and in some respects, I think about this, and I think, you know, are we really living on our reputation? And I'd say, yes and no. Yes and no. I think there are some great things that are going on in our church. I think there's a great generosity in this church. I think there's a great desire to send missionaries across to wherever they're going. I think there's a great spiritual awakening occurring, and people are growing deeper into the Word of God, and we are spreading that gospel to other people. But at the same time, I remember when this first church formed. I was one of those charter members. I was in college at the time. I really didn't know a whole lot about it. But I was here at the beginning, and I watched the church from afar. From when I was in Burwell, Nebraska, my folks would often talk, we'd talk back and forth about the comparison of the two churches and how they were moving along. And this church got its name by its start. What is its name? Faith. Faith. What is faith? The capacity to see things that are not there and know that that is what God's going to do without having to have all the ducks in a row to accomplish them. Faith. My question is, do we still operate on faith? Or do we have to have our resources so structured, so controlled, that we can accomplish it because we know we can get it done? Because we have everything lined up. May I suggest that perhaps God asks us to step out in faith and trust Him for something that can only be His doing, and then He received the glory for it. And I would say to us, I think we need to wake up. Yes, we are accomplishing things, but I think sometimes we are accomplishing things in our own strength, in our own capacity, in our own resources, because we have much. Much has been given to us. But I think God is asking us to step one step further, and you're going to hear that step that I think God is asking us to do today. You see, I think God is at work today among us. In fact, I know He is. I see it. I see people who are willing to be baptized. I see people who are willing to go out and reach out to people that are around us. I see people who are willing to talk to people. But I also see people who are just kind of sitting back and just not sure what they want to do. And so I want to challenge each one of you today to be a part of something. You see, God is at work today, and we're going to be going into something called Let's Get Together. And as we go into this, I want to talk with you about what I see happening here, okay? Let's Get Together is an outreach into a Latino community. This community of Franklin County and Hampton and the surrounding towns is composed of between 40 and 50% Latino people, okay? If I look across this congregation right now, I see pretty much all Anglos, okay? And that's not a problem, okay? I'm just going to say this, that in the book of Mark, it says, go you into all the nations and preach the gospel to every person. We're to go to the nations. And we say, yeah, oh, great. We will send people overseas. We have seven people already right now, overseas, college kids who are doing a ministry over there, and you can read their information. We send it out every week to you. And we can say, yes, we have supported them, and we support them. Fantastic. You have sent me overseas to teach Indians overseas. We have sent people to Mexico for over 10 years to reach the Latino population. And you know what I see God doing? God has now brought the nations to us. They are in our communities. They're with us. They are here. 40% population. We did a little bit of math on this the other day, and that's 2,000 people plus in our community. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So, over 10 years ago, we sent a team of people to Aguas Calientes, Mexico, to do a probe, to say, would this be a good partnership with Sam Hansen and his wife and his father-in-law and Jenny's father and mother, and they were already down there doing church planting, and they had a church, and they had a camp, and we went down there with a team of, I don't know, there were eight people, can't remember who it was. But we went down there, and we said, yes, this is a great fit. We think this partnership will be good. And as Bill and I talked a long time ago, and Amy, we talked about this idea that maybe someday we can have them help us, teach us. But right now, we're going to go down and we're going to help them. And so 10 years ago, we started that process. And over these last 10 years, we have sent mission teams down there after mission team after mission team down there. Both youth, youth, families, and adults. We have sent them down there. And we've said, we want to help you. We want to grow you. And throughout that time, these students who we were ministering to at that time, they grew up. And they finished high school, and they finished college. And they graduated from college, and they are out trying to get work. And one of those people came up here last January. He wanted to see Iowa in the snow. Can you imagine that? Jorge came here, and Bill was telling me the story that he and Jorge were having this conversation about a reverse mission. A reverse mission. Like somebody else coming to the United States. Did you realize that today the number one mission field in the world is the United States? Did you know that? There are more missionaries coming to the United States from other countries, from the nations, than we are sending out of the United States. We are an unreached people. So Jorge comes up here and he says, I think I'd like to bring some up here. And so they started this thing. And the time when they come, the time when they could come is July 7th through the 13th. That's when they could come. Okay, that's when their schedule's allowed. So we said, great, come on up. We'll figure something out. And so we scheduled this time to do this. And as that's progressing, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I wonder what's going to happen with this. You know, this is really a step of faith for me, all right? And so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so how's this going to work? I know Bill's going to share here in a minute. I know it's a step of faith for him as well because he's never done anything like this. But I don't know if you've noticed Bill of late, but he's got kind of a spring in his step, and he's kind of excited about something. And you're going to see that again this morning. So I see it in him, and I see it in Jorge, and I see this church down there, and I see this development. And so another piece in the puzzle that I'm seeing is that Sam, for the last 5 years, has been developing a seminary in Aguas Calientes to raise up these young people who we were working with down there. They're now going into theological studies down there with Sam, preparing them to be pastors. Just hang that, just put that off in the corner over here, okay? But it's another piece that I'm seeing. So a couple weeks ago, I'm having a conversation with an individual. He comes to talk to me, and he says, tell me about this Latino outreach you're doing. What's your vision? So I started sharing with him what I thought was going to take place, and I said, you know, I don't know what God's doing. I really don't. Have no clue what God's doing. But as he comes to me, he says, you know, I'm really interested in this, and I would like to underwrite this thing, if you'll let me, with financial resources. And I said, well, that's really nice. He says, no, I'm not talking about little resources. I'm talking about big resources, like possibility, if you ever did hire a pastor, like helping support that pastor. It's kind of like, whoa. Well, now, I didn't ask for this. Lord, what are you doing? I'm not asking about this. I'm not probing for this. I'm just saying that he comes into my life and he says, I want to resource this thing if you'll let me do this. Okay. He says, how much money do you need? I says, I don't have a clue. Just whatever God tells you, let him tell you what we need, because I don't know. I have no clue. This thing isn't far enough along. This is like a baby in the womb type of thing. I don't know how big this baby is going to be. You know, that happened, and then that same week, I've been trying to get in touch with an expert in Hispanic or Latino ministries out of Converge North Central. I've been trying to get in touch with him for over a month. I send him an email. I send a text to somebody else. I talk to somebody else. I finally talked to a guy down in Pine Lake who was a part of Converge North Central. I says, Joel Nelson is his name. Joel, would you please tell Joel Ramirez I need to talk to him? Joel Ramirez is the Latino church planter for Converge North Central. So I'm asking, I just want to know, are we going in the right direction? I mean, that's all I want to know. And so Joel Ramirez emails me that very day, that very same day that I get this information from this other individual, and it comes in, he says, can we meet? And I said, yeah, we can meet. And so we plan to meet the following week in Albert Lea. That was this week. So we go up there and meet with Joel Ramirez, and we find out, you know, you're going the right direction. And he gave us some tips about some things. He gave us some stuff. He says, I'll be glad to consult for you. Great. We need somebody who knows. Joel's Latino, okay? He knows what it's like to live in this culture, to be in that culture, to what it takes to get people involved in that. So I see all these puzzle pieces being fitted together. And then I look at what we're doing in July, and I'm going to ask Bill to come on up here. Turn your mic on, Bill, so we can hear you. But Bill and I are going to talk a little bit about just some of the things that we see happening, and maybe talk about this, and we want to talk to you about how you can be involved. Now, the reason for putting this with this awake message is I believe God is asking us to wake up, to not rely on our laurels, to not go backwards, but to go forwards, to go forward into a place where we start to reach the missions, reach the nations that are among us. Now, please understand, I know that there are people here who say, I just wish they'd go home. I know there are people that think that, okay? May I say something to you? They can't. Yeah, we can ship them out, okay? But they'll never come back. Okay? But they're here. They're here. I don't think they're going anywhere. I really don't. I think they're part of our population base, and they're going to be here. And so the question is, how do we help them? God has brought them here. And think about it this way. So if we reach into this population base and we touch the lives of a dozen people, okay, and then for some reason God ships them home, what did we just do? We sent missionaries to Mexico from America who are Hispanic. What if they stay here? Well, look at the population base across all North Central, and this is one thing we found out, that in Converge North Central, there are no churches that are Hispanic in Iowa. There aren't any. Now, that doesn't say there aren't Hispanic churches in Iowa. It just says in our denomination, there are none. There are some in Minnesota, but there are none in Iowa. And I'm not saying that we need to do this because of that purpose, but I am saying I think God's opening a door up here and something's happening. So, Bill, we're going to talk about this. I got a few questions here. Why the name? Why Let's Get Together?
Let's Get Together. Right there sounds friendly. Okay. The main purpose, though, behind a lot of the Let's Get Together theme is we did the La Luz event a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago now. One of the questions, we handed out five questions to them. One of the questions was, how can we be more involved in your community, we being the church? 10 of those responses were community activities or events. 7 of those responses was to be a good neighbor. We had 42 responses back. So that's 17 responses right there alone that are suggesting let's get together. It's just a real friendly, outgoing, may I even say, kind of a biblical, let's, you know, be friends, let's be neighborly, let's just get together.
Like love your neighbor?
Love thy neighbor, yep. Okay. Same type of thought.
All right. So who's coming to help us with this let's get together?
So Sam, being our contact down in Aguas Caliente, and Jorge, that was here. Jorge went back, as Pastor said, got a couple people excited. I think there was originally 14 that were looking at trying to come up to America. During the process of trying to get visas and all that kind of stuff, a lot of that was greatly limited. And it got knocked back to that there's going to be Sam and 3 others that are from down in Aguas Caliente coming up here to help us let's get together. It's kind of an opportunity for them to be able to do a missions trip as we have done mission trips down there.
So we're really helping them also, training them again on how to go out and do this kind of stuff, but they're also helping us in the process. So what are we going to be doing that second week of July?
The second week of July is going to be a very busy week for me.
Are you going to plant corn?
No. Maybe eat some. The second week of July, it's kind of been one of those things. It's just been put together because we have partnered up with La Luz. We've also partnered up with YFC and through the Faith Baptist family, we are looking to try to do events and stuff that they have actually even proposed to us just through different talkings of with different people. First off, we're going to receive them, and then we're going to do like a VBS-style life type thing for young kids. What do you normally always see when you have young kids running around? Mom and dad in the background, okay? So we're trying to do some sort of an event that we can get the kids brought out, we can work with the kids, but yet still have mom and dad there that some of our friends that probably know how to speak Spanish since they're from Mexico can come up here and speak Spanish to the people that we don't know how to speak Spanish to, and then we can start encouraging and working together to be able to do the evening event, of which we're going to do a fair-type carnival-type thing out here in our parking lot. That's where it's going to get really, really busy. A little bit later on, we're going to pass around a sheet-type thing. I would think of a fair, okay? What do you see at fairs? Activities, okay? There's tons and tons of activities for people to do, okay? I would love to see lots and lots of people there. We've got a list for every night of probably like 20 people. I'd like to see 100, okay? It's let's get together. It's not just a couple of us trying to get together and do something there, okay? It's putting our faces out in front of the community and saying, hey, we are the body, and we're wanting to do something different here in this community.
So the VBS is going to be in the mornings.
Yep.
And it's going to be put on by not only our Aguas Calientes friends, but also us. And so we need people who, adults, who would help with that a little bit.
Yep.
And kids, students, high school students, and I think even junior high students can help with this in a morning event. And this is going to be held at the YFC building in the mornings.
Yes. That way there, if there is rain or anything like that, we can still host it and keep it going. So 1 to 3 is the time frame for the VBS.
See, it's confusing already. So VBS is in the afternoon.
Work with me, please.
It's good to see this because it is. It's an afternoon VBS, and then in the evenings from 6 to 8 is the carnival.
Correct.
Okay, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep. Right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So why the carnival?
The carnival. It's one of those things for, it's very cultural for them. If they're doing something, they have a carnival that goes along with it. If some sort of event that is going on, there's a carnival. Our event is that we're going to do a garage sale. We're going to do some sort of a clothing drive type of thing. And then the last night is going to be a backpack giveaway. Okay. Part of the thing that we did the research on was looking at how can we help to make that impact. They were very much wanting to get together and do things, but they also still need stuff too at the same point in time, just like we all need stuff too. So if we do the carnival, that attracts the kids. Okay. Now, inside the church, if we're doing the other things of the garage sale, clothing drive stuff, now we're meeting the needs of the family. Okay, mom and dad have something to do. Okay, they can come to the carnival, look through what is available, and be able to help their family out. Okay, that's part of being the hands and feet of Christ. So we'll also need a few people on the inside of the building, you know, talking, meeting, being that friendly face, shaking hands, just getting together. The same thing we're going to be doing at the car show outside here. You know, making those connections and just getting to know people. Okay. From a biblical perspective, I believe that Christ, when he was walking on this earth and stuff, he didn't say to people, come, you need me type of thing. He demonstrated out there. And then people came to him saying, why are you so different? And then he explained who he was. Okay? We are to be the examples of who Christ is. We should have people coming to us and saying, why are you guys so different? What's going on? What am I missing?
That's good. That's good. I was thinking about the garage sale and the clothing drive. And we used to do a clothing drive here several years ago. And One of the things that the Latinos told us through
La Luz
was that they missed the clothing drive. They benefited from it, and they said, "Well, basically, they volunteered to come help us set it up." Okay, so some of the Latino ladies are interested in coming here and helping us set up this clothing drive, and so we're going to need your clothing, the stuff that you're not using, by the way. All of our closets have got more than enough, from children's on up through adult stuff, to be brought to the church, and you can start bringing it. Anytime, we'll set aside a room for it. The same thing with the garage sale. We were told that they like garage sales, and so they're interested in coming to something like that. So the adults are interested in those things. The kids will be outside, and at the end of the night, every night, what are we going to do?
The nights, as we're winding down type thing, I've asked the team that's coming up from Mexico, our friends down there, that each night one of them gives some sort of a short testimony. And then at the end of the testimony, one of the very big events for Mexican community is to break a piñata. So we're going to break piñatas on Wednesday and Thursday night. Friday night, we're going to do something a little bit different on Friday night. We're going to have our carnival for about an hour, and then we're going to come into the church and do more of a celebration of what happened at VBS. Okay, maybe there's some kid that brought 15 friends. Okay, so we're going to let the congregation know that. Just bring the kids to light type of thing. We're also going to do, speaking of faith, reaching out in faith, we're going to do a potluck. Now, the thing that's a little different about this potluck, it's going to be a Latino potluck. They don't know about it yet. They won't start knowing about it until Tuesday when we host our very first kids club event. Okay? I'm hoping, asking God, that as we're talking to these parents and stuff that are outside watching their kids as we're entertaining them, and we get them involved in the carnival, I've been told that they would very much enjoy getting together with a potluck mentality. So we're going to spread that news at the kids club thing. On Friday, we're hosting a potluck, but you guys got to come and bring food too, okay? We're not supplying all of it. We want you to come and bring your favorite dish to our church family, and share with us, and let's get together. Great conversations happen over food. So we're hoping that they will be able to step up and that God will move in them and just come and bring food. So once that's all done, we're going to have the last person share their testimony, and then we're going to also go back outside. During the week, the kids are going to be building piñatas. So we might end up with 2 piñatas, or we might end up with 50 piñatas. I don't know how many kids are coming, okay? But we're going to have a massive piñata breaking on that last final night outside. So hopefully that will be an impact in their lives.
So just to clarify on the potluck, it is both Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos bringing food and us bringing food.
Correct.
Putting it all on the same table so you can get a mixture of, just think about that, you can get a mixture of German, Swedish, Norwegian, Mexican.
I'm a little Polak.
Polish. You get it? So all the nations are bringing their food, and we're going to put it all on one table. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Can I get the ushers to help me at this time? There's some clipboards we're going to start passing around. We've got a little bit more to do with this interview, but I want to start this. On this clipboard, there is a space to volunteer for things. Now, I understand this is somewhat short notice, okay? But we'll do this week, and we're going to do it next week, and we'll do it the following week in terms of giving you opportunity to share and participate and to volunteer. So if you don't know what your calendar is, just leave it and say, I'll get it next week, okay? But if you would, make sure these things get all the way back through the congregation by the time we get done here, okay? So we need help with what things? VBS.
Most importantly, there's 2 real big ticket items on it. It's the VBS. We need adults there to help. We need kids there to, participate, and not, I shouldn't say participate, but to be the helpers type of a thing. I mean, basically junior high and up. If you're junior high age and older, you qualify to help out at VBS, okay? We'll need just leaders to help kind of herd the kids around from activity to activity type of a deal. We'll need younger kids to have that energy to help keep the kids going. You name it, we can use you there.
So at the carnival, that's the second big ticket item.
This carnival is the second big ticket item, yes. And there, you're all game. I don't care if you're knee-high to a grasshopper or, you know, the oldest person in the church. Every one of you are welcome. And we need all that. What is a church? What is the church body? It's everybody, okay? And this is a church body event out there, okay? So we'll need people helping with the games. We'll need people inside the church helping with the clothing drive or the giveaway stuff type of a deal, okay? If you are available that time frame, we want you around, okay, just to be that face so that the Latino community can start recognizing and saying, hey, aren't you one of those from out there that they did some fair thing? What church was that again? Okay, we need the faces there so that they can start recognizing, you know what? I have a relationship with that person. I feel comfortable around that person. Okay, because as that relationship builds, that's how and when they're going to start to ask, why are you so different?
So we need people to come up with games or to bring games, carnival kind of games like pin the tail on a donkey or toss a ring over a pop can. Those type of things.
Those types of games, yes.
Or cornball.
Right. We've got a list kind of already started. We've been meeting back in room 34 after church services to try to get these things all kind of put together. We need people that have these real simple. What we're looking for is that activity that holds a kid's attention for 2 to 5 minutes, okay, type of a thing. Show up, do that one there, and they bounce to the next one, okay? Now, if we're going to do this for 2 hours, well, an hour and 45 minutes, That's quite a few little activities that we kind of need, okay? Now, we can do it with just 10. We can still host something, but it's not going to be nowhere near as fun type of a deal. The more that we have, the bigger the impact we're going to make is what it all comes down to. So if you have a game, let me know about it that you think might work out there, okay? We'll try to get it assembled, put together. We're going to try to leave most everything outside. We do have a building that we can put stuff in if you're concerned about it, so we don't have a lot of tear down and set up every day. So
we need people to volunteer to man those games, to get those games here, to put it together. And so if you're in a life group, we encourage you to do that, possibly maybe a couple games out of a life group. Or if you're a family unit and you just want to do a game, like, great, we'd love to have you do that. So it's just a volunteer basis to get this all pulled together. And I think Bill and I are both standing up here thinking to ourselves, boy, this is a step of faith. We're asking God to do this, to put it within you guys, to join us in this process. So Bill brought a basketball this morning, and that's why this is up here. I'm going to let him take off on this illustration.
Please forgive me. It's been a long time since I've held one of these things, okay? In fact, you probably count on one hand how many times I've picked one of these up since high school. So it's been a little while. So if you're in the front row, throw it back, please. Just, you know, help me out, okay? So that time frame, way back then, MJ, he was the man, wasn't he? Right? You guys know who I'm talking about? Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's on the screen, Bill.
Wow, look at him go! Yeah, that's me with the basketball. I couldn't use this thing at all, okay? MJ, man, he was on everywhere. The Dream Team. You guys remember the Dream Team? The Olympics? Basketball just getting started in there type of deal, you know? They kicked. They were huge. They blew everybody else out of the water. That was that time frame I was growing up in, high school, you know, type of deal. It was cool. It was neat. Okay? So being outside on the basketball court, other friends and stuff like that, played the games, you know, everybody, you know, won a little one-on-one or whatever the case was, played a lot of pig, although we didn't call it pig. We called it Reichenbacher. You know why we called it Reichenbacher? I got to shoot more than three times. She was almost always the first person out, every single time. I couldn't make a basket to save my life. Anyway, with all that aside, why this? Why basketball? Now I got to get all my thoughts put back together again. So, basketball being kind of the mission, what we're our church, what are we doing? Why are we here? Pastor's sermon here today. What's all this about type of a thing, okay? Holy Spirit in there. What's he doing? Where's he at? How's he helping all this out type of a deal? Faith. Where's faith fit into this? Okay? Bounce the ball. Okay? When I let go of it, put a little effort into it, comes right back up. Right? Holy Spirit helping that mission come back. Okay? And as that goes along, keeps going, church is doing pretty good. Like, what was the church's name?
Sardis.
Sardis. Kind of like Sardis. You're doing it all right. Got it going. Hey, that was quite a few of them in a row there, wasn't it? Doing it good. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But as the letter writes later on, something happened. I don't know what that was, type of thing. But something happened in Sardis. Don't know what happened, but got away from them. But God's still back there. Now, maybe Sardis is a little bit more cautious. What's going on? You know, taking it a little bit easier. Not relying on the Holy Spirit to bring that ball back up. Okay? Maybe you get to the point of, God, protect that. God, protect that mission. Got to hang on to it so it don't get hurt, don't get away from me type of a thing there. Okay? I kind of see this outreach thing that we're doing with Aguas Caliente as a helping both of us out. We go down there, we help their church grow, helps them get started. We make an impact down there. Up here in our Latino community up here, we've struggled with reaching out. I don't have a single Latino friend, not one. It's crazy. Half the population, not one of them that I really even know. Okay? So, to get the Holy Spirit working again, what do you do? Well, that's where that faith comes in. Stepping out. You know, maybe we're saying right now, as we're signing the little sheets, trying to figure out what to do, oh, I can't do that. Isn't that faith thing right there? God says, I know you can't do that, but I can. I can bring that back to you every single time. Just put that little bit of effort into it. You know, all you have to do is show up. Help me get that started. Help me get that going. And let me work through you to make that happen. Okay? Now they're down there coming up here. This is something brand new for them. They've never sent anybody out. It's a new church, 10 years old. It's all the newer this church is down there. And now they're sending missionaries out. And we're on that receiving end of that. It's something different. I've never experienced being on the receiving end of the mission side. Never done that. Something totally new for me. Okay? But at the same point in time, as the Holy Spirit or his faith keeps bringing this back to my hand every single time, type of thing, what would happen if we actually put some real effort into it? How would that affect the church? How would we grow? Where could we go from here at this point in time?
Thank you, Bill. know how many of you know Bill real well. I remember the first time he came here and talked, that they were going to Indonesia, and Bill kind of referred to Amy and says, she's the talker. And I just see a growth in Bill that's fantastic. It's related to his passion for this mission. And that's another piece to the puzzle that we're seeing. Question is, why this conversation on this day with this message? I think it's possible that as a church, we can rely on our history. I'm not saying we are. I'm saying that sometimes I wonder if we do. And God is now asking us to step out in an area that's totally uncomfortable for many of us. Literally, it is uncomfortable. Not an easy thing to do what we're talking about doing. The other part of it is it's a huge deal. This thing has gotten bigger every time I talk to Bill. It just keeps swelling, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, Lord, what have you gotten us into here? And I'm just thinking to myself, Lord, if this is your work, then you're going to provide the resources, you're going to provide everything that's necessary to accomplish it. What I'm asking as your pastor this morning is this. Put your hand to the plow with me and with Bill. Join us in this endeavor. This is just 1 week out of July that we're going to try and reach into a Latino community to see if we can build any friendships in that community to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Perhaps there'll be some that come to faith in Christ that week. Wouldn't that be great? But maybe when we get done with this thing, we're going to have a couple new friends that say, you know what? What can we do? We don't know, literally, we don't know where this is going. We don't know. I shared with you that I talked to a church planter, okay? I'm not saying that we're going to plant a church. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're just researching all these little things that are out here and saying, what's going on? Is it possible? Well, maybe it is possible. What it looks like, I don't know. I'm just saying we're going to take one step at a time. We believe God's calling us to this, and I'm asking you as a congregation to join us in this process. Come, if nothing else, come on those nights and be a part of this. Be a friend, be a face, as Bill said. If you can come up with a game, great. That would be great. But this is this idea of engage. Engage. If you don't engage, no, let me put it this way. God is going to engage. God is going to engage us, right? And it goes back to that return, remain, remove, and then, oh, God's doing something. I want to be a part of what he's doing. So would you just pray with me a minute? Father God, we thank you. Lord, I believe that you are doing something among us. You are causing something to take place. You are reaching us, Lord. You are pushing us out of our comfort zone and into a faith zone. And even as we do that, Lord, you also are talking to us about the Great Commission, about reaching nations that are among us. Father, would you create within each person hearing and this every person a part of this church, would you create within us an intensity to say, I want to be a part of this. I don't understand it all. I can't see the whole thing. But Lord, I hear a little bit of it and I say, Lord, would you just create that motivation, that momentum that we need going into this, that we're all looking for you and we're all looking for what you're going to do. And as we look for what you're going to do, we see it and we're going to just rejoice. We're going to step back and say, look what God did. Lord, we need to see what you're going to do. But we trust by faith that you're going to do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.